Fasten your time machine belt. We're entering a portal to the past to explore erstwhile episodes and historical happenings. Airing on KYMN Radio, produced by the Northfield Historical Society, and hosted by Cosmo Esplin, this is Trek Through Time. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the inaugural episode of Trek Through Time. I'm your host, Cosmo Esplin. This is a brand new monthly podcast airing on KYMN Radio that is dedicated to taking you on an enthralling journey across the eras. To get things straight, that is not meant to indicate that this is a Taylor Swift-based show. So, listeners, please beware that if I do not appear in next month's episode, it is because the enraged mob of middle schoolers tracked me down. Additionally, the title is not an allusion to the beloved Star Trek franchise. This radio journey is not spearheaded by Captain Picard. Plus, I'm more pro-Lucas, to be honest. Goodness, I'm already plunging myself into a potential world of hurt. Assuming I didn't just alienate too large of a demographic, the objective of this show is to voyage into bygone days and rediscover fascinating parts of local history. Northfield has a richly abundant past that stretches as far back to its foundation in 1855. Beyond the famed fateful foil that was the James Younger Gang's attempted bank raid in September of 1876, the amount of history simply ingrained within Northfield's township as a whole is worthy of being further explored in depth. From the colleges of St. Olaf and Carleton to the familiar Ames Mill, momentous moments have occurred on this land for 169 years. Thanks to this fantastic partnership with the Northfield Historical Society, I'm now able to explore a variety of blasts from the local past and inform you, the audience, about chronicles, occurrences, and episodes that are not only fragments from the past, but could also pertain to the future. So, here's how it's gonna go. Each month, we'll do a deep dive into a particularly selected topic that has some sort of historical relevance in Northfield. While I may be in possession of some superficially savvy information that makes me sound mildly informed, my historical database is not intact enough to take up an entire show. Plus, listening solely to my vocal cords for half an hour could become rather grating. Thus, per episode, I'll invite a guest on with a specialized branch of knowledge regarding whatever subject we'll focus on. It's important to remember our local history, but it's also crucial to recognize those who dedicate their time to preserving that past and enriching our understanding of the present as a result. This show has been a passion project of mine for a while, so I'm more than excited that it's finally coming together. I've been lucky to be a part of some previous experiences in a web series and a radio show, but nothing quite like this before. I'm very fortunate to reunite with KYMN Radio to air this show, as well as joining forces Avengers style with the Northfield Historical Society, both organizations of whom have provided significant support in developing this podcast. I've had an interest in Northfield history ever since moving here in 2015 and learning of the failed bank raid 78 years ago. This is a terrific opportunity for me to learn more myself about happenings of yesteryear. So, listeners, you're not alone in lacking formal designation as a history maestro, unless you are one. Looking at you, Jeff Save. Now that we're on the same page, it's time to unveil the first official topic of conversation. Drumroll, please. This month's Axis of Antiquity will rotate around the history of Northfield Radio. We're going to get right over to that and announce our top secret guest in just a moment, but before that happens, it's time to look at how local history is staying relevant with some upcoming events at the Northfield Historical Society. Coming up midway through June is the next monthly Monday at the Movies, held at the Grand Event Center and sponsored by Culture Crew, the local organization equivalent of World War II's The Big Three. If you haven't heard the news, Culture Crew consists of the Historical Society, the Northfield Arts Guild, and the Northfield Public Library, a trifecta dedicated to preserving and enriching the community. I'm going to give you three clues regarding their film pick of the month, so let's see if you can figure it out. Clue number one. This is a widely beloved 1974 parody of a classic 1931 film you might watch around Halloween. Clue number two. It stars Gene Wilder, Peter Boyle, Cloris Leachman, and Terry Garr. Clue number three. Mel Brooks directed this laugh-out-loud comedy that sees a mad scientist conduct a wild experiment which creates a green-tinted monster surprisingly good at tap dancing. I hope you've figured it out by now. Unfortunately, there's no monetary prize for deducting the picture, so today's not your lucky day if you were expecting a buttload of bucks. However, your reward is knowing that the movie night screens on Monday, June 17th at the Grand Event Center. Doors open and dinner service begins at 5 o'clock p.m., with ordering available until the showing starts at 6:30. Enjoy the epitome of dinner and a show! Finally, keep an eye out for Culture Cruise Reading at the River. Bring your own drink, chair, and book to join a silent reading party at the Cannon Riverfront. It's basically a hushed book club, except there's no bickering, drama, and eventual collapse of the book club as a whole. Isn't that nice? The dates will be announced shortly, so don't forget about this relaxing chill time where all are welcome. Luckily, you are legally allowed to read before then. Thanks to the Historical Society for putting these events together and staying involved in the community. Remember to be on the lookout for these events and more in the future. And now, the first stop on this trek through time is going way back to the very dawn of radio in Northfield. It was a dark and stormy night. Well, maybe not stormy, and reports don't indicate the darkness factor, but it was a night. And a 1918 night, to be specific. 44 years after the college's inception, a troop of students at St. Olaf collaborate with their professor to test out communications through a trailblazing and recently developed manipulation of physics dubbed wireless, which I can only presume translates to without wires. That may not be the original Latin root, but logic seems to be on its side. These six pioneers, with the five students studying physics, construct a structure intended to transmit and acquire signals. Following this process, the experimenters pull a one-wire antenna of sorts from the chapel to Old Main. Trialing the system overnight, their test messages, not text messages, are received over 8,000 miles away in New Zealand. That was the birth of Northfield's first ever radio station, WCAL, or WCAL, as the classy folks say it. Officially licensed in 1922, St. Olaf's invention paved the way forward regarding not only radio in town, but the arts as well. The same year the station was launched, college students executed the first ever full-length play broadcast, As You Like It, by a rather obscure playwright of what only sounds like a phony name of Bill Shakespeare. Throughout the years, WCAL played on AM and FM, eventually airing 24 hours per day, garnering a large audience and opening the door for a variety of programs to reach Minnesotans. The first memorable record that WCAL set was becoming the first crowd-funded radio station in the United States. The station lived for 82 years until Minnesota Public Radio bought their FM channel, 89.3. With St. Olaf's landmark accomplishment known, the door was plenty ajar for Carleton College, founded 8 years prior to St. Olaf in 1866, to make a move onto the world of sound. It was inevitable that KRLX would enter the radio race, coming to fruition at Carleton in 1948. The call sign originated by the phonetic pronunciation of the first three letters, KRL, adding a non-included A and using the final X as a Roman numeral to represent 10. Carl 10. I won't blame you if you need to rewind that a few times. For 76 years, KRLX has provided listening headquarters to the campus and allowed hundreds of students to be involved in the electromagnetic realm, or whatever scientific field it technically is. KRLX's years of hard work have paid off, with Princeton Review selecting it as among the best student-run stations in America. Although WCAL finished its term on the airwaves 20 years ago, St. Olaf Radio remains alive and well with KSTO, chartered in 1957 and still kicking it under the supervision of Ole's 67 years later. Both Northfield College stations offer countless opportunities for students to explore and experiment with a variety of what I call radiotic formats. That one groundbreaking evening in 1918 opened a whole new world of possibilities not just to be explored by the colleges, but the township in and of itself. Arguably the most well-known representation of Northfield Radio, KYMN was established in 1968, airing its first wave of sound on September 27th of that year. It was a groovy time then, man, as now local legend Wayne Eddy started off his decades-long career at the station during its initial ownership by John Hunter, Milt Price, and founder Stan Steinecke, while KYMN 95.1 The One, which, newsflash, is what you're tuned into now if you're listening live, has enjoyed 56 years on the air and has been viewed as successful through those years, there were, in all honesty, some problems to start off its birth. For starters, the studio was originally located on a Waterford dirt road northeast of Northfield, and there were concerns about how popular it would become. And not in the Black Friday way, as in, we'll get too many people trampling each other in here. It was more in the, will we even sell a single Hawaiian shirt way? For example, Don McRae, a 1969 hire, didn't have much faith in the station, worrying that it would not do too well. Well, maybe Don looked back at his past remarks with an ironic perspective when he eventually became co-owner with Wayne Eddy in 1983. Anyway, the 60s were a crazy time and nobody would remember anything anyway, so Northfielders gave this new station a shot. And let's just say it's worked out ever since. Longtime owner and on-air personality, Wayne Eddy has cemented his legacy not just in local radio, but nationally. He received a Hall of Fame radio career in broadcasting and community service, and is even recognized as one of the Northfield Historical Society's founders. So, if you happen to be listening, thanks, Wayne, because I literally would not be here right now without the shot you took on KYMN 5.5 decades ago. And though Wayne would continue his iconic show, The Wayne Eddy Affair, afterwards, a new era was installed when KYMN underwent another purchase in 2008, which leads me to this month's guest. I already used the drumroll sound effect earlier, and it's just sort of an unwritten rule that you shouldn't utilize a drumroll twice in the same show, so I'll just non-dramatically announce our first guest on this program. It's Jeff Johnson! An instrumental piece of KYMN for 37 years, Jeff took over for Wayne Eddy when he became the station's owner and manager in 2008, while also hosting the morning show up until the present day. Jeff has worked to continue serving the community via KYMN and their assorted collection of radio shows. Now maybe this one will sneak into that assembly. Last month, however, Jeff announced that he plans to retire from KYMN this fall, following a decades-long career, and transfer ownership to current news director Rich Larson. I figured that I had to have Jeff on to speak on this topic before he flees town. He's been a big part of my own radio experiences as well, obviously, airing a series of short radio plays during the early days of COVID, as well as the theater show I co-hosted for a few years with Pauline Jennings, Curtain Call. It's always been a pleasure to work with Jeff and KYMN to bring something new and interesting to the community, so I'm glad we're doing it again. Buckle up, ladies and gentlemen, because we're about to travel back in time to meet with Jeff Johnson and explore the history of Northfield Radio. Hey Jeff, thanks for doing this.
Cosmo, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming in and being my first guest. And buckle up, it's going to be like a 5-hour interview. No, I'm joking. No. I interviewed you for my last episode of Some Good News Northfield, actually, back in 2021. And so it's like you're the missing link between shows here. I first guest here, last guest on there, so you're easing the transition. You're familiar with radio, and obviously... And the roles are sort of reversed here. You're not usually on this end of the spectrum. So do you remember the last time you gave a radio interview?
Well, you know, it is weird having, you know, microphone in front of me, and all of a sudden I'm following the lead here, which right. is something totally different. You know, I've been, you know, a little background on myself. I've been at KYMN since 1987. So
wow.
this being 2024, it's been 37 years.
37, wow, that's crazy.
So I've done, you know, many, many interviews from sports director to news and morning show host, and not very often am I on this end of it.
Right, yeah,
I'll try to play along.
Well, Captain Phillips reference, look at me, I'm the host now. That's 50% of people might pick up on that. So how did you first get involved in KYMN? What led you to the station?
I just moved to Minneapolis at the time, and from Dallas, and I had gone to a broadcasting school in Dallas, and I started looking for a job. And it took me a few weeks. You know, I applied to all the big stations for, you know, anything that they would have. And they had an opening. Wayne Eddy called me up one day, and they had an opening for a part-time announcer weekends and nights during the summertime. So I jumped on it and, you know, thought that would be the first stop on a long line of big radio stations and TV and a media career, and sure. Boy, never left.
Yeah, well, it's worked out since then, it seems. Did anybody ever tell you that you need to be on radio? Because obviously you have a great radio voice. So was it just something that you always wanted to do, or was it something that somebody pointed out to you?
You know, for me, it was something somebody pointed out. I had been working in the travel industry for a number of years. And most recently, right before I started radio, I was working for a rental car company at their International Reservation Center. So talking on the phone to people making reservations throughout all over the world for Americans and other places, going to other places. So I had a lot of people tell me, yeah, you've got a voice, you should be on the radio. And I, you know, at that time, I kind of was done with the travel industry. So I wanted radio to sound like, you know, a sexy business to get into. So so I went to a school down in Dallas for it, and moved up here and looked for a job. This is where I ended up.
I think that most people listening have heard your voice at some point or another. Could you give us a little bit more background on your journey, how you've moved up to now owner?
Yeah, I started, as I mentioned, in 87. KYMN at the time was an AM station. We still have an AM signal, but we were called an AM daytimer. AM radio has a tendency, the radio waves have a tendency to do kind of freaky things at night, and they bounce off the ionosphere and cause interference for a lot of other stations. Mm-hmm. Dating back to the early days of radio, the FCC had realized this, and they had decided to put called clear channel stations in. They're large. We have to clear at night to make room for a couple of radio stations, KRLD in Dallas, Texas, and also another one on the 1080 band in Hartford, Connecticut. So because back then they had the capability of broadcasting, the Japanese have bombed Pearl Harbor, things like that.
Right, big news.
Yeah, so we had no nighttime power. So from 6 to 9, we had to sign off at 9 o'clock in the summertime. From 6 to 9, I would go in and play records, and we really had just 45s and albums at that time. Yeah. About a year and a half later, I got a job as the sports director for KYMN, and that led me to move to Northfield. I still live in Minneapolis at the time. I was sports director for about 15 years until Wayne Eddy sold the radio station in 2002. And I stayed on for about a year during the morning show on an FM signal that came along with that. It was actually based out of New Prague, what is now KCHK FM out of New Prague, KCHK. But back then we were Max 95.
Cool. Retro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then I left radio for a couple of years after KYMN got sold again. The general manager of KYMN was a good friend of mine at the time, Ned Newberg, and he talked me into coming back. And about 2 years after that, I bought the radio station during the economic downturn the late 2008, 2009. And I've been the owner for about 15 years now.
And as I mentioned in my intro, you announced last month that you're going to be retiring this fall. Congratulations on that. Any plans to stay in the radio business after then, or are you just going to take up a beach house in the Bahamas and stay there?
We're going with plan B. Beach house in the Bahamas,
that's the best way to go.
Right. No, I really don't. You know, you get to, I'm 63, and by the time I get out the door, I'll be 64. And, you look around, I've been fortunate enough to have a great career and really enjoyed it, doing something I love. But there are a lot of other things I want to do, including travel. I want to travel quite a bit. And I want to live in a warmer climate. I've promised myself I'm not doing another winter in Minnesota, even though this last year was pretty mild.
So
I'm going to do some adventuring. And no, I have no plans of getting back into radio. Rich Larson will be owning the station. He's been with us for a number of years, and I think he's really looking forward to taking over, and I think he's going to do a great job.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited about that as well. One of my questions was, can you give us the Rich Larson guarantee? So I think you probably answered that pretty well.
Yep.
So what's your favorite part of hosting the morning show every weekday for 16 years now?
Yeah, it's definitely talk talking to the people, having conversations with people. You know, for us, we really pride ourselves and always have since the early days of KYMED, being a local radio station, Northfield station, covering local news and events. And so we cover, everything that's going on in Northfield. I talk to a lot of people, whether it be elected officials or people, you know, with nonprofits, volunteers, putting on an event, our school officials, and just about everybody in between. You know, we really wanted to bring all the voices of Northfield to the radio. That's the best way we can survive, really. We need to do that, and we need to have people have their voices heard and reflect the community. So talking with people, definitely the best part.
That you get a lot of different perspectives too, I imagine.
Absolutely.
That's pretty neat. Is there an interview across the years that stands out to you that you were able to be a part of?
Boy, you know, I don't know how many thousands.
Yeah, I imagine it's definitely the thousands now.
One of the people just sitting right here, Mark Thornton, always enjoyed my interviews with Mark Thornton, now with the Northfield Historical Society.
Right. Yeah.
But we've done really so many, and so many of them have been interesting or have, you know, they were concerning topics that were relevant at the time, and we were able to, you know, shed some light on those and bring some of those voices to, you know, to the general public. So, boy, nothing in particular, but everything in general.
Right. Yeah, that's probably the best answer, that everything stands out. So that's good. So going back to the very beginning again, KYMN founded in 1968. Mm-hmm. So what do you know about the founding and how it eventually got its status today?
Well, it was eventually started in 1968. There were some businessmen, Stan Steinicki, who was a longtime owner at KYMN.
I'm glad you said that, sorry, because I pronounce it Stidnicki, so that's a lot better to know now.
Yeah, it's one of those names where Steinicki, they got that out of the spelling, but it is Steinicki.
Right.
John Hunter and Milt Price. And they were from, I think, much of the metro area in southern Minnesota. Stan had been running a television station down there as a general manager, and Wayne Eddy had worked for him. Now, those three of them got together. They wanted to put a radio station in Edina, actually.
Oh, really?
And they couldn't get approval for that. It was too much of a saturated market with the airwaves. Mm-hmm. So they looked around and found a community that didn't have a radio station. A lot of people at that time said, you know, Northfield is too small. Mm-hmm. In the this is in 1968,
right.
So, you know, you're less than 10,000 people at the time.
Yeah.
You know, they came in and proved them wrong, took a chance on it, and the person who really made the whole thing happen was Wayne Eddy.
Mm-hmm, right.
And he was one of the people who made the Northfield Historical Society happen, too.
Yeah.
Wayne was one of the founding people of the Historical Society. But so they hired Wayne. Wayne had known Stan because he was the weatherman. Wayne was the weatherman at this television station down in Austin. And so he had worked with Stan, and Stan was part of this ownership group, and he decided, hey, let's get Wayne. You know, he's a go-getter. You know,
sure.
If anybody's going to get us off the ground, it's going to be him. And so they hired Wayne, and Wayne got here probably in early August of 1968.
So he was pretty much here from the get-go then.
Yeah, he was the guy that really got us off the ground. So he was in charge of everything, in charge of programming, in charge of sales. He sold out everything. The first days, and Wayne will tell you this, he's very proud that we got on the air, we were sold out. We had sponsors everywhere.
Wow, that's crazy.
So Wayne really got it off the ground. And in 68, in September 27th of 1968,
we signed
on.
The iconic date. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
right.
With the fifth dimension, up, up, and away.
Wow.
Certainly a sign of the times back then.
Yeah, definitely 68 for sure. Yeah. For any local filmmakers out here, this would make a great movie. I'm just saying, you could play yourself, Jeff, right? You know? Give it a shot.
I can't play a young me. Maybe you could play a young me.
We could de-age you.
I looked a lot different in 1987.
So I mentioned that it started out on a Waterford dirt road, actually. That's how it originated. So when did they move into the studio that Northfielders know now, the KYMN studio.
Yeah, that was in 2002 or 2003, actually in early 2003 after Wayne sold it. There had been some technological advances and stuff. And Wayne owned the building out there. Wayne and his partner, Don McCray, for a long time had owned the building. The ownership has gone through kind of an evolution through the years as well, but right. Wayne's mostly been a part of that. But so it was in 2003, and we had the original square building was built in 1968. It wasn't very big. They had added on to that. But, back then when we were way out in the country, we didn't have that many live guests come into the studio. We would do a recording or do a telephone interview. But with the technology changing, we were able to get our signal here in town, and that was a great move.
Yeah.
Great move. It's so nice to be in town, and there's a relevance to being here and having the guests come in every day and be a part of it. So that was a big move.
Yeah, definitely. I think it makes the community more engaged that way. How's Wayne doing now, by the way? He's north of 80, I believe.
Yeah, Wayne is 82. He's going to be 83.
Awesome. Happy birthday.
Next week, so happy birthday. Yeah. I'm trying to remember what day it is. Mm-hmm. But he'll be 83, and he's had some health issues through the years, and he's kind of been bedridden right now and in hospice care. I've gone out and visited him a number of times at his home,
good.
And he's still alert and still likes company and likes to talk. So, it's good seeing him.
Yeah, that's good. Still has that radio voice, I presume.
Still has a radio voice, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember that I was lucky enough to be interviewed by him when he and Dina Fessler co-hosted that show during the pandemic, Friends You Can Count On, which is a play on KYMN's tagline, right?
Right.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to be able to talk to him. You were gracious enough to do some research before coming on here. Was there anything else regarding the history of KYMN or radio in Northfield that you want to share with us, bits of knowledge?
Yeah, I do want to a little bit about the history of radio in Northfield, and it dates back more than 100 years. Radio, it was invented by Marconi back in 1903 or so. Originally, it was used as communications with ships, and they communicate by Morse code. But a lot of people were experimenting, including St. Olaf College. A professor and some students put together, they would put some Morse code messages out there, and U.S. troops could have heard them reported all the way from like New Zealand, the other side of the world.
Yeah.
So after they kind of shut that down during the war, picked it back up with what would eventually become WCAL and broadcast. They did a lot of broadcasting of like church services in Swedish and Norwegian. And they were involved in, and they would only broadcast maybe a couple of times a week. I think the first play ever performed on radio was St. Olaf's production of Shakespeare's As You Like It.
Yeah.
They were like the first listeners supported. They would ask for donations to keep them on the air and broadcast more. So that evolved, into what became WCAL was a landmark here in Northfield. They became FM back in 68, the same year that we got on the air.
Oh, really?
They went on the FM side, and that was in not many people listen to FM radio.
Right. Two revolutionary radio advances in the same year.
Yeah. So Northfield does have a long and rich history.
Absolutely.
Radio here in town, even though we're the first and only commercial station that's ever been actually licensed to the city of Northfield. So we're definitely very proud of our history at KYMN and look forward to extending that for another at least 60 years.
Right,
as
long
as radio's something.
Going on 56 years now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Almost, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty impressive, I have to say. So regarding KYMN's impact, you're certainly not known for being a prideful person, you stay pretty reserved and you choose to apply the praise to others, but you were deservedly granted the Good Neighbor Award by the Laura Baker Services Association in 2022, so what was it like accepting something representative of your and KYMN's effect across the town?
Especially from Laura Baker Services, that was definitely an honor. We've worked with them, and we have a long history with LBSA. And once again, invoke the name Wayne Eddy again. Wayne was on their board of directors for a number of years, very close to them, did a lot of their fundraising efforts. And I've haven't been on the board, but we continue to work closely with LBSA and support their cause. And what, that and the Historical Society here, you know, some of the institutions that really, you know, gotten close to my heart over the years.
Yeah, that shows how much, how ingrained KYMN really is in the community, that they have all these connections. So as we sort of wrap up this interview, your retirement is still a few months out, but is there any piece of sage, wise advice you want to leave with the Northfield community?
You know, I just want to say thank you for supporting KYMN and me in particular. It's much appreciated. It's been, 37 years. I never thought it'd be that long, but it's going to come to an end here pretty soon. I'll be gone, hopefully not forgotten, but I'll be back.
You know, certainly not forgotten.
I like the summers here, so I'll be spending summers here, but just not the winters. But yeah, Rich is going to be doing his best to bring you programming, kind of probably expand upon what we're doing now. I think he's going to get even more involved. I think there will always be local media. I hope there is, certainly, mm-hmm. that because there are things that need to be reported, whether it be on AM radio or FM radio or streamed digitally, we do all those, podcasting and such. It's going to continue on. And having credible news sources here in town, credible reporters, hear the new people making the news on the air with us, I think there will always be a place for that.
Yeah.
And I think Rich is going to carry that on very well.
That's good. It'll be the end of an era and the start of a new era, I think. Mm-hmm. And it all really started with Wayne's legacy, and I think you continued on his legacy and now passing that on to Rich. I think that's all... really cool. So yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
And maybe someday it'll be you. You've had an affiliation with KYMN for a number of years here. We've always enjoyed your programming, everything you bring to the table.
Well, so. I am a tad offended you didn't approach me for ownership before, Rich, to be honest. But I look forward to continuing on and doing this show with KYMN. And I want to thank you very much for being my first guest, Jeff. I really appreciate it. And I don't think the community would be quite the same without you, so thank you for everything you've done. We really appreciate it.
Guys, both, thank you very much. It's much appreciated.
Yes. Thank you very much to Jeff Johnson for being my first guest and also for airing the show, Double Duty. My gratitude also extends to Rich Larson and company at KYMN Radio, as well as everyone at the Northfield Historical Society, including Sean Allen, Mark Thornton, and Bryn Artley. Everyone has been so helpful and straight up awesome in producing this show and allowing me to utilize their fancy new studio, or what I call the History Hub. Not to turn this into an Oscar speech, but I also want to thank my parents for supporting this new venture. And of course, thank you to everyone listening or watching this episode of Trek Through Time. There will be an extended video version of the show up on YouTube soon, so watch for that, and I hope you'll join me to discover another piece of the past next month. But before I depart from the airwaves, I quickly want to leave you with a fascinating fact, or what I sophisticatedly refer to as this month's archival anniversary. On June 6th, 1944, Allied troops stormed the beaches of Normandy, aiming to change the Axis powers' destructive path and turn the tide of war. Because of the insurmountable bravery of those forces, many of them American, as part of Operation Overlord, they accomplished their mission and ensured liberty for millions of people across the globe. Let's not forget or forsake that courage 80 years later. This has been Voyage 1 of Trek Through Time, where we discover pieces of the past. I'm your host, Cosmo Esplin, reminding you to make history happen.